On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
the bird creates space for creators. Monetization updates are coming from Twitter.
It's still half-baked, but Google is sharing results of their latest interest-based advertising test ahead of the third-party cookie phase-out.
What's up, my guy? Oh, nothing. Another week. Another confusing Google product announcement.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on April 21st. 2023. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode. It is a new year for Jess Budd. You recently celebrated a birthday, right?
Happy birthday. I did. And it was the first year ever that I did not go on Facebook and like every single birthday wish or post a thank you or anything. And I'm still here and no one has unfriended me that I know of.
Wow.
You don't know that. You don't get a notification.
That's true. But I feel freed by it.
I just want to be here officially welcoming you into my age now.
35?
Yeah. Mm. Biological age.
We don't know Jess's biological age.
It's got to be.
She doesn't
like
have
70.
Your scale.
How does it feel?
It's old. I feel the same.
Yeah, I feel great, right?
Yeah. It's good. It's nice to be in the back half of my 30s. It's so much to
I think I'm heading to 34, though. So
you're going backwards.
Not be there too
Benjamin
much.
Button.
The scale does not go backwards.
If your body goes back in atomically correct, then it will.
Can I ask a question about healthy things since you're so healthy?
I don't think you should ask him.
You ever had a dragon fruit?
Yes, it's the white one with the seeds.
Yeah.
Red outside.
They're like $7, a dragon fruit, and they taste like nothing. What is the point of these things?
It's like to punch stuff up. You know what I mean? Like
but how does it punch it up? It doesn't taste like anything. It's just, I know it's full of antioxidants.
It has a really cool name.
It does, and it looks super cool, and it's really easy to scoop the flesh out, but it tastes like if you get a crappy beefsteak tomato, like that white part with no flavor, that's all it tastes like. It's horrid. It's not worth the money.
It's like a less flavored kiwi. Artificial dragon fruit flavor is not bad.
Yeah, so what's up with that? Where do they even make that up from? Like all the body washes that are dragon fruit, they're just marvelous smelling.
Oh, those taste great.
Anyway, it was my first and last purchase of a dragon fruit. It's nothing.
I'm happy you're joining us in your 35th year. Thank you. I'm going to tell another story about my kid. So,
oh, you got a kid.
Yep, one so far. So we have a baby gate. She's two at the bottom of our stairs, but it's useless because we have this like crown molding and that's at the top, isn't it? It's just the baseboard molding. And she recently discovered that she can just knock the thing over. So we don't even put it out anymore. And we're constantly like, get down here. Where are you going? And she's like, oh, I just got to go get you something upstairs. Aww. Like literally says that. So the other day she's going up. She makes it like halfway up the stairs. I'm standing right there and I hear her go, Elizabeth, because her name is Eliza for short, Elizabeth for long, but she's been Eliza since day one, and my husband is getting into his like true dad era and started saying her full name when she's going up the stairs and being naughty. So now that just means going upstairs for her.
So she said Elizabeth?
Yes.
When she got up the stairs.
Wow.
Elizabeth! That's amazing. She's mocking him.
She's like calling her shot.
She's a teenager already.
She's like, oh, Elizabeth, yeah, I'm going up.
Wow.
It was a great moment for me.
That is pretty good.
Especially because I thought it was so corny that he was doing that. So I was like, cease and desist.
Hmm. You named her that.
I know, but it's a family name. What's new with you, Greg?
I've got a huge first world problem here. I went rock climbing for the first time in a long time. I tried to do some bouldering where you're not like strapped onto stuff. I have little baby finger skin. I've got good calluses on my hand, like on my thumb, all that. But my hand is like wrecked and has been wrecked for a full week from just trying to grip stuff. Like that's where I really need to like reverse my age. I need like tougher finger skin. Do you guys
need
have that
to
problem?
Be older?
No. I would have no idea.
What are we gripping?
Never.
Over here?
I've never bouldered in my life.
We type.
Oh, we should put that in our competition. You versus me bouldering.
Well, how is it an indicator of age?
I don't know.
His baby skin. His hands are even younger than the rest of him.
But so that's my that's my biggest issue right now.
You need
life.
Like what a nice anti-moisturizer problem to have.
I know.
That's your biggest issue is that you have soft skin on your hands.
Yeah, my skin
and
is
your
too
clothes
soft
don't fit anymore.
From my typing all the time.
Another problem Greg has is that we didn't follow up on this for a while, but you lost marketing a bracket.
I sure did. I was out like on day one.
So we did have a winner and it was tables. UConn. This was an abysmal bracket. Like I was in first place for a long time. Everyone did a terrible job. So great work, everybody. But second place was Nicholas Lee. So we're going to try to hunt you down on Discord and get you your prize. But tables, congratulations, Nicholas. You're going to get the cash because we can't give it to one of our own.
Just hit us up, Nicholas.
But good job, tables. And also good job, tables, because I know I yelled at everybody a few weeks back about how we were inching really close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And we have now done it. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who subscribed. It really means a lot to us. And Tables has been doing a great job with the video editing, and he has some fun like AI images in there. So if you're not watching us on YouTube, be sure to check it out. We're doing some really fun things. And one last piece of housekeeping, if you want to advertise to those 1,000 subscribers, everyone else who's watching the video, and people who are listening to us as a podcast, we do have some sponsored episode openings here for Q2 and beyond. So give us a call. What's happening in the news, Greg?
Well, we've got some big news from Google. According to Search Engine Land, and really came from the Wall Street Journal, I believe, Google is in the process of building an all-new search engine that's powered by its new AI technology, while at the same time adding new AI-based features to its current search engine under the project name Magi, M-A-G-I.
Have we confirmed that's how you say it?
There's no way.
How would you pronounce M-A-G-I?
Magi.
Magi?
Magi.
How would you pronounce it?
I would think Magi too, and I would think maybe because I was like raised religious, it's skewing it one way, but then Jess Budd thinks it too, and she's a witch.
I would have said Maggie over, Magi.
Magi, it's like a magician, like a magic, a mystical.
Magi would be the last thing I thought.
Yeah, like, oh, it's Magi, I'll just search on it.
It seems,
it's
it
sexist
flows.
For one.
It's Magi for me. So Google has put out a team of designers, engineers, and executives that are building out the new search engine that, quote, could put new AI technology in phones and homes all over the world, according to the report. There's going to be a, quote, far more personalized experience than the company's current service, attempting to anticipate users' needs. And it's become an obsession, the modernization of a search engine over at Google. And yeah, the Times said it's a priority. So I don't know too much about this. I also watched the 60 Minutes interview with Scott Pelley and Sundar Pichai. There's a clip where Pelley had like no chill. He goes, so to me, search is dead. Did you just kill your cash cow? And I'm like, whoa, buddy. And that was like the first part of this YouTube clip I saw. And Pichai answered it fairly well. I just got to say, in that interview too, I was trying to like get more tips on how to report this. Scott Pelley is the wrong interviewer here. He was like blown away at Google Bard. Everything that Google showed him, he's like, this is revolutionary. It's like they could show him AI created imagery, which is worse than Mind Journey. And he looks at it and is like, oh, this is unbelievable. And it's like a pixelated Labrador with wings. And it's like, Mind Journey blows us away and Bard stinks. Like, why are you're not authorized?
Did they show him all the things Bard gets wrong? Probably not.
No, I'm sure not.
I'm sure it wasn't even Bard. It's probably something else. So this new search engine would learn what users want to know based on what they're searching and offer lists of pre-selected options for objects to buy, information to research, and other information. So apparently there's a team of 160 Googlers that are working full time on adding new features to the existing Google search. That is what is the code name Magi is the addition to the new to the current search. And then it gets so confusing. And one other thing with Magi, you will now allow searchers to complete transactions, booking flights, whatever. Okay. And they're going to incorporate Google search ads into it. So there's a few other efforts along with Magi and apparently the new search engine that's going to be more personalized. If you remember back in 2009, they rolled out personalized search. It was great. You could see like friends you were connected to on circles. Is that what the stupid?
Oh yeah, there were circles.
Google Plus.
Yeah.
If they're in your circles, you could see all that stuff. But they kind of took all that away. And they're also working on Google. This is according to Search Engine Land. Google Earth's mapping technology with help from AI and search for music through a conversation with a chatbot. That's all one sentence. Gi-Fi, G-I-F-I. How would you pronounce that?
Giphy.
If Wi-Fi is W-I-F-I.
Giphy.
They're not going to make something.
It's Gi-Fi.
Okay. Gi-Fi would use AI to generate images in Google Image Results, a Tivoli tutor, which can teach people new languages, and then Search Along that would let users ask a chatbot questions while surfing the web through Chrome.
So I'm searching along with my guy.
Yes. And if you want an image, you go to Gi-Fi. That sounds like a dating app for females or anybody looking for
anyone
men, like
looking
Gi-Fi.
For
yeah. Anyway.
It sounds like a Guy Fieri dating site.
It does. And you got to have like ice tips and you got to have like Oakleys. I love it. Or maybe like you put a filter on, everybody looks like Guy Fieri.
Ooh. Then how would you put just one?
That's the whole point. I just have to say, this is another gigantic failure on a Google product launch. Magai is making Google search better. There's a new AI search coming out. There's a new chatbot integrated into Chrome called Search Along. How is this all coming out at once? Who is there anybody in like a product launch team with neurons firing to think through like how to make this seem good?
They probably used AI.
Everything in their PR department makes things confusing. Their department is here to make things confusing. The entire department. And they do a fantastic job at it. How could anybody look at this and say, I understand what this is?
Even some of these just as a one-off on its own doesn't make any sense. Like the maps and the music.
Okay. So recap. Google has Bard that came out in a search announcement but isn't search. But it can search for answers without providing sources. And then there's a new Project Magai that has AI but is not a new search engine. It's just enhancing the current search engine, but really it's more than search, it's personalized search. And then there's Search Along for Chrome that is a chat, but is not search and is not personalized search. And then there's a new search engine being created. That's the news.
I think you got it. I don't know if we got it.
So look for that.
Look for those.
Somewhere. Thoughts and prayers.
More news from Google, this time from Google Ads. They are sharing results on their interest-based advertising or IBA testing, and they want us to know that it's going amazing.
Of course.
So quick refresh here. Third-party cookout. The third-party cookie phase-out in Chrome, I think it's been pushed back twice now. It was supposed to happen in 2023. Now they're saying 2024. And this IBA, they've had a lot of failures along the way, but this IBA now includes affinity in market, custom audiences, and demographic segments on Google's display network, which Google says is using a combination of privacy preserving signals, including contextual. I have to read this from the article. What do you want me to say? Perverting.
Pervert.
Sorry. I think we should keep going.
The people need to hear that.
I agree. Okay, so the privacy preserving signals include contextual information, the topics API from the privacy sandbox, and first party identifiers such as publisher provided IDs. So for this experiment, they created two experiment arms on a share of Chrome traffic. On one, they continued using third-party cookies, and on the other, they replaced third-party cookies with these IBA signals while maintaining the use of third-party cookies for other use cases like measurement and remarketing. So that's a big thing to keep in mind with this data too. But they found that Google display ads advertiser spending on IBA decreased 2-7% compared to third-party cookie-based results. For conversion per dollar, the decrease was 1-3%, and click-through rates remain within 90% of the status quo. So they're really excited about this go-ahead. Flock is far behind them. Ginny tweeted about it. There's a blog post if you want to know more. From my point of view, it's like we have nothing to worry about with the third-party cookie phase-out because Taboola doesn't use it, and they're doing a great job. I pulled some ads from E! News.
Oh.
What actually triggers tinnitus? You will be shocked. Great shot of someone's ear with a Q-tip in it here. Just Bud will love this one. Think twice before buying from these two stores, the ugly truth. We got some big hunks of meat there.
That gross-looking meat.
I like how you're like... You're comparing targeting to the most clickbaity.
We don't need
clickbait.
Targeting.
Just everybody.
This is what I'm saying.
Just turn into a clickbait factory. There you go.
We don't need targeting. Top plastic surgeon, if you have wrinkles, do this before bed. And this is truly like Michael Myers. Terrifying. You guys have got to
follow
us on YouTube.
What am I doing before bed? What is this?
YouTube.marketingaclock.com.
Happy birthday, Jess. You should click that one.
Wow.
And a simple Indian trick for nail infections that not everyone knows. I need to know what the trick is.
Why is there such a gap in those feet?
That is,
I know, there's a big,
they are spreading those
like
toes.
AI. There's a big gap between the toes.
Like, is that a spoonful of salt? No one knows.
Yeah, you have, no one
you
knows.
Have to clack.
So anyway, E! Online doesn't need targeting. You don't need targeting.
We all need targeting.
I need to do this if I have wrinkles, though, before bed.
And if you want, there's a full GitHub repository about all the information on how they conducted it. I haven't gone into all of it. I saw some people were calling the results inflated, but you can check it out over on GitHub.
And people were upset that it didn't take out cookies for remarketing either in the results. So we'll have to see what happens. They're saying 2024 for now. I bet they'll push it back again.
Speaking of things to come, a creator program is coming to Twitter. Elon Musk tweeted that you can apply to offer your followers subscriptions of any material from long-form text to hours-long video if you just tap on monetization in your settings. That's some hours-long video, plural. He then followed up to say, for the next 12 months, Twitter will keep none of the money. You will receive whatever money they receive. So that's 70% for subscriptions on iOS and Android. He does all the math. After the first year, iOS and Android fees will drop and they will add a small amount on top of that, depending on volume. He says, we will also help promote your work. Our goal is to maximize creator prosperity. At any point, you can leave the platform and take your work with you. Easy in, easy out. And based on the comments, it looks like this is just a thing in the U.S. for now, but Elon did reply to a tweet asking about that, saying that they're working on it for outside of the States as well. Will people use this? Is Twitter going to become a creator platform? According to a poll from Irish Dave, 68.5% of people think it will be a dominant content creation platform. And I know some folks that would round that number up probably, but I don't want to spoil any upcoming stories. A lot of folks are still seeing that the applications are coming soon and they can't actually do it yet. But I don't know. Twitter doesn't seem like a place for hours long video or even huge long tweets. And it'd be nice for people to be able to monetize anywhere that they go. I think that's a nice option, but I don't know how this is going to shake out. I feel like he's just, I don't know. Do you guys have thoughts on this? Are you going to consume content other than tweets?
We've got a PPC news story this week that was content created on Twitter. Thought leadership.
Okay. I have lots of thoughts. I think this is genius in general. You have current ability to subscribe. The previous rollout of super followers was super weird and just subscriptions make sense to just call it that. Unlike something like a Instagram where you get garbage options to share videos. Like you can share whatever you want here. You can share text. You can share links. You can do whatever you'd like. It could be image. Like you can do whatever you want here. And people already have built-in followings. Like this makes nothing but sense if it's done right. I saw Elon himself has a subscribe. You can subscribe to him for $4. Like
he's really giving away so much great shit for free though.
I think it's great. Like YouTube is video and then they've got those stupid posts, but why wouldn't you want, if you had stuff that was really good, what network would you use?
You're asking me that question?
I'm asking you.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on everything. So to be fair, this is like format agnostic, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because I would say it depends on my format. I don't have a format. But I guess that's a good point.
I mean, it's a way you can share stuff without having to make your own community. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. And then especially the fact that there's a lot of that money where it's only going to be 15% even the next year. Like, that's great.
Yeah, it's nice you get to keep it all in the beginning. A lot of people were asking questions, and he's pretty active in replying. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, could be very interesting. Twitter could be changing quite a bit, though, if that happens.
It's like anybody that would have used OnlyFans for you know, PC content, you would not use that.
I saw people in adult entertainment asking if they could use this, and I think they see it. So on the flip side of OnlyFans, too, people might be bringing some stuff to Twitter.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Hence getting rid of the W, I guess. Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one, the only, Julie Baccini of Neptune Moon over on neptunemoon.net. And this is just an article you can go read on yourself. I'll pull a couple highlights out. Called The Google Search Magi Announcement is Bonkers. She starts, this is how you know it's gonna be good. Buckle up, friends. I'm feeling extra salty this morning. And then she goes on to quote some notes. And one thing I audibly laughed at is she said, here's my favorite quote. The new search engine would learn what users want to know based on what they're searching, end quote. To which Julie says, excuse me? What in the hell has their search algorithm and product been doing all this time then? They are just now going to learn what users want to know based on what they're searching? Seriously? As a PPC consultant working on behalf of advertisers since Google Ads came into existence, let me assure you, this is precisely what we were told you've been doing all along. So there's loads more gems, but this is a fire take if you're frustrated with the Magi announcement.
I
like
love her.
We were. Thank you, Julie.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people. Dario Zanoni is sharing some insights that he found in Google Ads. Google Ads is now giving us more insight into how assets are resonating with a particular audience. So this is a screenshot of what's showing up in his asset library, and it has different images in here. I can't tell if he's like swapping these over other images or what the screenshot really is. But then there's text underneath that says a certain audience, like Google Ads native audience name. So it says apparently this cheeseburger image is doing well with pet lovers. So he says it seems that these insights need plenty of data before showing. So you need a lot of impressions probably, but love any information we can get. Thank you, Dario.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Google Ads released an article. This is called Back to the Future, the Old Marketing Feature That Will Drive New Marketing Success. And this is all about broad match. But they don't even call it a match type in this. It's like a way of life for them now. It says, this same technology has supercharged broad match, a Google ad setting that helps brands reach more people with their ads and reduces manual keyword work. So it's a Google ad setting. I'm surprised they didn't even call it like a feature, but it's just a way of life for them. This is actually, I think, a really good article that gives some more insight into how broad match used to work and why it used to have such a bad rap and what's going better with it now and why more and more PPC practitioners are using it. So I think it's worth a read for anyone who's not tested broad match in their accounts yet. A couple things to pull out. It says, when broad match launched, our engineering team at Google would manually write out the synonyms for a keyword and cast a really wide net.
What?
For example, an audience including cheap could match with searches for inexpensive and shoestring. And I guess that was all like manual people coming up with those synonyms.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Like, was it a team of interns? Like, that's so crazy.
They must have hired some real dumb people.
I know, because it used to be so bad. So then it says, thanks to new machine learning capabilities, large language models now better understand a user's intent. We train it with billions of pieces of text so it can learn all the different variations and meanings of a word or phrase and what sequences make sense. So we've heard that a lot about the large language models and how it's so smart now. But then it goes on to talk about more specific changes to Broadmatch that are new in 2023. So first it says, Broadmatch takes the order of words into account when it matters now. So some examples are flights from Paris to London, exchanges from euros to pound, USB to USB-C cable. So these are things where the order of the words is really important to the intent. And Broadmatch used to not care about that. We used to have phrase match for that. And now we don't have phrase match really, but Broadmatch takes that into account. Number two, they say similar, they're talking about similar keywords in an account. So what happens when two ads for the same advertiser match to the same query? It says previously Broadmatch would look at an advertiser's ad rank to help determine which ad to show. This may not have always been the best choice. And now this is me, Shep, saying that's because nobody understands ad rank and you don't want us to really, Google Ads. So to improve relevance for the advertiser and the user, it now takes supporting information even more into account, such as other keywords in the ad group and the ad's landing page. That's something I've heard about before, so that could be helping with your relevance and ad performance. This also talks about multilingual matching. So Broadmatch now recognizes that some people might switch between languages when looking for something online, and it uses that information to serve the right ads. But I think what I love about this article is I feel like it's a total shift in like the tone from them. So it says, we're not saying that you only need to run your campaign in one language and that you'll get traffic for all, as the success of your campaign relies on your own language settings and localized creatives. But in countries with a lot of bilingual expats, it's good to know that Broadmatch can match relevant local traffic to an ad, even if the search is made in another language. So I feel like in the past, they're kind of just always pushing new features on us and acting like it's good for everyone all the time. And I like that this article does a better job of putting in those caveats. I also love this quote. It says, while AI-powered language upgrades have made Broadmatch a much more effective tool for search advertising, it'll continue to need a smart marketer in the driver's seat. Have you ever heard them say that?
Never. They probably didn't say that.
It's in the article.
By mistake.
I feel like they really...
Wow.
I don't know. Whoever wrote this, I feel like, listens to the show and, like, cares about my sanity.
Thank you.
So that is really good advice because I definitely have Broadmatch in my accounts. I don't know if I can say we all do, but it can work with smart bidding and the right guardrails in place. So,
and a smart marketer in the driver's seat.
Thank you. So read this and try it for yourself if you feel like it's a good fit. Darcy Burke, I also want to give a shout out from his Darcy Burke Twitter account. Tagged us in this and said, would love for you guys to cover this article. So that's how I came upon it. So thanks, Darcy.
And one other note too, I feel like one problem that I hope Google Marketing Live fixes this year is the naming conventions of each one of these. Call it a setting, call it a bid type, call it whatever you want. It is a disaster, right? And then they're like, how Broadmatch worked before? It was just people changing cheap and inexpensive. And now it's something that you don't even need to match the same query. It could be a historical search. It could match. It could be on your landing page. It is not really matching. And I am so surprised they didn't ever make this like a new keyword type.
But then they are changing the names of things to make our lives harder, like the ad extension asset change.
Right.
But then this one, it would have made sense to give it a new name and call it a new match type.
Right. And like Ford had a car called the Pinto, and it due to the gas tank or something, it would like always start on fire, and they didn't just keep going with like that was what Broadmatch was, right? It was a Ford Pinto, and they're trying to like be like, oh, the Ford Pinto is now good. Like, you should get rid of that name, and it should now be AI or machine learning or whatever you want to call it, enhanced, enhanced match.
I love that analogy. Is that a new one?
Is it? Yeah,
I've never heard it before.
Okay, so a lot of people were responding to this with opinions and agreeing with me and Darcy that it was a good article. Jason responded from his @JasonJH1319 Twitter account. when Ginny tweeted it out and said, if only more search terms were visible to us. And Ginny replied and said, the changes to the search term report privacy thresholds won't be changing, but there's ongoing work to surface search term data in privacy preserve. Oh my God, I did it again. In privacy preserving ways and bring more functionality to search term insights. Stay tuned for updates.
So that's a nice nugget.
No,
but it's the insights page. She didn't say there's more in the search term report. You gotta listen.
Yeah. Okay.
Insights.
So got then it. Barry turned that into an article for Search Engine Roundtable, and PPC Greg responded and said, will be interesting to watch what functionality they bring to the insights tab. At this point, it's not useful to our team much at all. To be honest, I'd rather see them focus on other areas of the platform instead. And then he has a meme, a nice business meme of the Mean Girl scene. It's actually Aaron Samuels and Regina George like standing next to each other. But the text says, stop trying to make the insights tab happen. It's not going to happen. I agree, PPC Greg.
It's so pointless. Like you can't, it doesn't help you.
I never look at it.
No.
Okay, next up, save the date for Google Marketing Live. It's scheduled for May 23rd at 9 a.m. live from Mountain View, California. You can watch with us online. I hope to have a baby by then, no longer be pregnant. No word on who the performances will be from. That's what I want to know.
Maybe your child.
Stage mom. Okay, next. This is from Microsoft. They say, today we're releasing Windows 11 Insider Preview Build 23435 to the Dev Channel. And a quote from this that was interesting is it says, we are continuing testing of badging in the start menu to highlight the benefits of signing in with your Microsoft account, including new ads across the start menu. So right now the ads are only for Microsoft, but that's interesting. Policy update from Reddit ads. It will begin using self-disclosed gender identity to personalize ads on the platform on April 24th. And I guess they're reaching out to Redditors ahead of time to let them know this is coming and give the option to opt out if they want to. More news from PPC Greg. He said he just had a search query of a business's exact address matched to an exact match keyword of their brand name. That is not what exact match is supposed to mean.
That's criminal. That's somebody looking for directions to a location.
Awful.
Yes.
That is so.
That's awful.
So he said Google is once again expanding the scope of their matching in the name of capturing clicks on ads and retweeted himself, power move, from January 20th this year and said at that point he had seen a search query of a business's phone number triggering an ad click. He didn't say the match type there, but
he did say it was word-based, though, and not numbers. So
That's literally not somebody searching for a brand name.
Yep.
It's somebody getting directions.
Yeah. Exact match. It's really terrible. From Boris Beckerick, from his at Boris Beckerick Twitter account, he said, not sure if I missed it, but since when did the PMax Gmail placement start to look like this? And he has an example of a HelloFresh ad at the top of his inbox, and it doesn't look like an email like the PMax placements that I've seen in the past. It really looks like an ad. He says, P.S. HelloFresh has been hammering me for days. Those recipes look pretty good. But I kind of feel like this is a better option because it looks more like an ad to me. And I hope people wouldn't think they're like subscribed to an email newsletter that they're not.
I bet more people click it.
Yeah.
And there's an image there. Could help click through rate. Mm-hmm. So just something to keep an eye out for. From Nicole Farley for Search Engine Land, she has a new report on Microsoft's integration with Roku. And it says Roku TV streaming advertisements result in a 9% growth in brand searches per user and an 11% uptick in clicks per user. There's an almost 18% overall increase in click-through rates on the Microsoft Audience Network when users are exposed to Roku ads and when users are exposed to both Microsoft Audience Network and TV streaming, there is an 11% rise in searches and a 10% increase in clicks. I've got some bones to pick on the Audience Network later in the show, and I've also got bones to pick with Roku because they always have this image of something they want you to watch on the Roku channel on your home screen, and lately it's been a documentary about the Black Plague with a big disgusting rat picture. And all I did was turn on my TV. Also, this report was conducted by Microsoft, so just keep that in mind. PPC Kirk tweeted this week, this is definitely more than 240 characters. He has like a mini article in here, but it's a really great one. He says he's talked to a lot of non-rep Googlers over the years in person, execs, engineers, project managers, communications, account strategists, etc. And he believes that every individual Googler he's ever talked to actually cares about providing a great product for their advertisers. But as we all know, it doesn't always come off that way. And a lot of PPC practitioners think that all they care about is revenue. So everyone should check this out. But a quote that we pulled from this is, he says, in my opinion, a lot of it boils down to the fact that people making the decisions within Google are not typically communicating directly with actual advertisers and or operators in the weeds. The ones actually making the changes and the ones actually doing the work are hidden from each other between layers of Google. And I think that's very true. There needs to just be more open communication and more articles like that one I talked about early in the show, I think. Okay, now we have stats and spending corner here in paid. Heavy news week. From Danny Goodwin for Search Engine Land, U.S. search ad revenue hit a record $84.4 billion in 2022. He says search continues to account for the largest share of digital ad spending, with revenues up 7.8% year over year. Next up, the IAB says, despite headwinds, digital advertising delivered double-digit growth in 2022. Between 21 and 22, internet advertising revenues grew 10.8% year over year, totaling $209.7 billion, and overall revenues increased $20.4 billion year over year. Gartner also released a report this week where they surveyed a bunch of marketers, and while nearly all of them reported on having adjusted their budgets amidst the current economic uncertainty, only 5% reported decreasing their spend. And obviously they said those that increased spending were 2 times more likely to grow profit. So that's very interesting. So I guess it's not all bad out there, guys. People are still spending money on ads. Okay, finally here from Drew Cannon in our Discord community. He gave us a little tip that the Ads Transparency Center on Google got an update, and you can now search for brands or URLs of advertisers or even political groups. So it seems like they're really expanding that. So thanks, Drew. Thanks for listening to Paid, everybody. That was a lot of news.
That was a lot of news.
What's happening in organic?
All right. First up, on the heels of the March Broadcore update, Google has announced the April 2023 reviews update. Big change. This is just the RU update. There's no P to this. There's no Pru anymore.
Oh.
They got rid of the product in Pru and is now just the reviews update. So this is actually a fairly big change here, because they're now going to be covering reviews on more than just products. Like you would typically think a product is a good or service, but usually you think about it for good. So it's going to be covering reviews about products, services, and things. So more so like if you're reviewing software, a service, something like that, this is now going to pertain to you. They have a very helpful 14-piece like tips of how to have good reviews in here. Seems like there's a lot of shakeup with this, but if you do any type of review content, you're going to need to really pay attention to this here. And Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Roundtable has all the charts.
It's time for Barry's Charts with Greg.
A lot of great charts this week. This is a humdinger of a week, some might say. And I'm going to go outside the box here. Barry has been making some aggressive AI art with Mind Journey. And I'm going to give our third place chart to the Google logo that looks like Wolverine cut through it. But
it's not a chart.
I know, but I'm giving it third place.
Third place chart.
Yes.
It's not a chart.
It's my game.
Is that what this G stands for? Game?
Yeah, Greg. And it looks like it was like scraped, but like the scrape is protruding. Right, so it kind of looks
scraped
chart
from behind.
Yeah, it's like chart adjacent, and then it's on fire, but part of the fire is turning into like chicken fries from BK. Yeah.
Love that.
Yes.
So first place.
Second place chart is cognitive SEO, because you can't tell that a single thing happened. I love it when that happens. It is just steady as can be. And our winner this week, SERP Metrics, with the chart of the week. If you look starting about April 8th on this chart, you will see pearl crabs from SpongeBob's face sticking through. And that's why the winner is SERP Metrics for their pearl crabs iteration inside their chart. And that was Barry's Charts with Greg, an audio program about visual charts. Next up, Google shares fell as much as 4% on Monday this week as it was reported that Samsung may consider replacing Google with Microsoft's Bing as the default search engine. So, yikes. That's what we need. We need more adoption of Bing. Bing has its flaws. Microsoft advertising has its flaws. We need more choice.
Yeah.
We need more choice. So go for it. Do it. I bet you won't, Samsung. Okay, from YouTube, your fans can now turn on notifications for streams and premieres that you're promoting via a new Notify Me button at the bottom of a post. So check that out if you subscribe to anybody on YouTube. And there's sort of a big change in the way that videos and video thumbnails will show in the SERPs. In the past, if you had video content on a site, you could have it show up as like that video, or you see it in the video section, like a shopping or images or something. And Google said, today we're making a change so that video thumbnails only appear next to Google search results when the video is the main content of a page. This will make it easier for users to understand what to expect when they visit a page. It sort of makes sense. Like, you don't really want video to show up if it's like a short little product review or something like that. But if the whole post is like a review on these products, then it should show up as a video, right? So that is actually a major change, that if you do a lot of video content and you get a lot of traffic from videos in the SERPs, you're going to want to pay attention to. And then from Krista Seiden, there's a new way to count conversions in GA4. And this will help to make GA4 match better with GA3, where instead of having once an event counting, there's a new once per session counting. That's how GA3 had tracked in the past. Krista has a very long, I think there's like 8 different threads in the post. You can check it out at Krista Seiden or community.marketingaclock. Head to her Discord and get all the notes. And basically, if you are trying to match GA3, you might want to use this counting method in GA4. And from the Google News Initiative, there is a post that you can now build your brand value across Google surfaces. Our new product, Reader Revenue Manager, was designed for publishers to help increase engagement by highlighting content to readers during contextually relevant moments in their Google products. So you can just see more about your subscriptions if you have that to offer using the Google News Initiative Reader Revenue Manager. And that's it in organic. What's happening in social, bud?
Lots more government-funded drama. Thank you for asking. So 2 days ago, as of the time of recording, Twitter Daily News at Titter Daily on Twitter tweeted.
They really did that?
They really did that. They're making me say it, so I'm just going to say it.
I blame Greg Finn.
It's their handle. There's nothing I can do about it.
You're amplifying it.
Yeah. I'm not. It's this one right here. She's the problem.
I'm reading what's in the show notes. Okay, and so Twitter Daily News says, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has halted its use of Twitter after being labeled government-funded media. The public broadcaster says this label undermines its credibility. And CBC Radio Canada tweeted themselves. They said, our journalism is impartial and independent. To suggest otherwise is untrue. This is why we are pausing our activities on Twitter. And then they also said it in French, which I'm not going to read. And they're not the only ones. Back to at Titter Daily, they said that government-funded media labels have also been attached to media organizations in New Zealand and Australia. They're also seeing it spotted on news organizations in Sweden. In general, the sentiment when this label is applied to a news organization, they're not really feeling very good about it. You know who is feeling good? You know who's feeling great? Mr. Elon Musk.
He always is.
He's feeling real good in this one, him and somebody else. So He tweeted that the Canadian Broadcasting Corp said that they're less than 70% government funded. So we corrected the label.
Oh my God.
It's 69% government funded media. And I actually will give him this one. I think that's pretty fucking funny. Like, if you're going to commit, just do it.
Wait, why is it funny?
Well, so, so it's under 70. So he made it 69. Which is funny because it's a sex thing. I'm not going
to. We need to move on.
This man is. We'll get to
it. You're the problem, Greg.
I'm sorry that I'm not so jaded and corrupted. You're just talking about perverts all day long.
You did say pervert twice.
I didn't say pervert. I said perv.
Same thing.
Even worse. Okay. So everyone's just getting a kick out of this. And somebody tweeted Gregory, Greg with two G's underscore Ree.
Is that like Gregory?
Gregory. Actually, you're probably right. Tweeted that there's going to be so many angry tweets on a Mastodon instance with 50 users in Ottawa tonight about this. And Elon replied, LMAO, I think he's just adding a lot of O's because, again, he's really excited.
They're all for Ottawa.
Oh. No, get it? See what I did there? Yeah. Oh, anyway, there's actual news from the platform too. Or you looked like you had something to say, Greg. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, no, I have something to say.
Like, okay.
I don't know what to do with that, the NPR version where it's like 1% to 2% funding. Mm-hmm. But if you're the majority, billions of dollars, $1.4 billion, that's kind of good to know in that case, right? Did you? Yeah. What are your thoughts? Would you like to know that somebody's the majority billion plus is coming from the government on their news reporting?
Yes, but I feel like, all kidding aside, with the 69%, there is some middle ground where you can say partially government, because government funded just makes it seem like it's run by the, which we know is not the same, but people that don't really know what they're talking about might say, oh, well, that's a government news organization. I'm done. I'm not reading it. If there is a way to kind of indicate that, maybe you put in your own percentage, or somebody's got to fact check it. I don't know, but I feel like there's something to that.
Because that seems like a lot. Like
that is a large portion. Like,
you don't really need that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's just because I see this one that's,
I don't know. But like the people in Sweden and Australia and all these other folks, like they're, and there's numbers to back it, and some of them do have government funding, but it isn't such a large percentage. But just the, I think the connotation with it is so negative, people don't want that label. So if there was a way to kind of quantify I don't know.
Take the money then. Like if you, can you,
I don't know,
trust somebody that 70% of the money comes from the government, you're not going to be able to speak or you will lose your money.
Yeah, I don't right? know. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for it, but I do like a gauge somehow,
this is
maybe.
Apolitical. I'm just saying, sure, I don't know certainly. What CBC is. I don't know.
Yeah. And there's actual news from the Twitter platform as well. Not that that wasn't news, but most of it's a joke. Okay. Twitter Write tweeted that they're making some improvements to the writing and reading experience on Twitter. They now support tweets up to 10,000 characters in length with bold and italics for formatting. You have to sign up for Twitter Blue for this. I think we alluded to the fact that this was coming before, so it's here. Twitter Safety tweeted that they're adding more transparency to the enforcement actions that they take on tweets. You'll start to see labels on tweets identified as potentially violating their rules around hateful conduct, letting you know that they've limited their visibility. The important takeaway here is that this action is being taken at the tweet level, so it's not necessarily going to actually impact the user's account, and they are also working on the ability for those accounts, if that label's applied to their tweets, to appeal that decision.
And I actually like what they're doing with community notes. I clicked on last week one of those NPR community notes because I'm like, is it really funded? And I looked at it, and it's like it's only 1% to 2%. I'm like, okay, this is helpful. So hopefully this, in conjunction with community notes, can help clean things up.
Speaking of clean, just FYI, from @wolf_financial, breaking news, Twitter sent out an email to business users announcing their official renaming to X Corp. This is Twitter Inc. being renamed to X Corp, not Twitter. The platform will still be called Twitter, but I am just really surprised that they aren't calling it XXX Corp, because Elon's mind is deeper in the gutter than Shep's this week.
It sounds like a super villain thing.
Kind of does. But like SpaceX, right? That's his thing. Yeah. I just feel like he likes that letter. Anyway, X Corp, but Twitter is still Twitter, aka the bird.
He named his child with like 20 X's in it, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. From @AnimeSocial, she says, bye-bye Linktree. So apparently Mark Zuckerberg announced on his Instagram channel that you can have up to 5 links in your Instagram bio. And there's a screenshot of it here that we'll have up if you're watching. There are actual links that you can add. You click a little thing and a card comes up and you don't have to use Linktree. But Linktree is hilarious because they just shared the fact that Meta is still using Linktree in their own profile. So LOL. Good for you, Linktree. Stay relevant. Keeping it meta here, or should I say keeping it real, there are some updates from Adam Mosseri. They announced new Reels trends. You can see what is trending. This is just starting in the US, but you can see what's trending around the world in Reels. There's new editing features, separating things into layers so it's easier to create Reels, which is awesome. They've added new insights. I think he called it a finally feature because people have been asking this for a while. You can get average watch time on your Reels as well as total watch time. And they're also expanding GIFs into other countries where they're not already. So that's nice. Shep, earmuffs on this one. From the New York Times tech reporter Mike Isaac, aka the Rat King. No idea why he calls himself that. He says Reddit will begin charging the biggest companies for API access, which has been used historically to train the coming wave of LLMs and artificially intelligent programs. But fear not, the API will remain free for researchers and smaller developers. So they're really just charging those big guys.
And that's going to be huge for Reddit because Bard and ChatGPT and everything has just been basically skimming everything, stealing that content, scraping it and using it. Mm-hmm. And if they want to keep doing that, they want to keep getting answers from the community, the human element which it needs, mm-hmm. you're gonna have to pay up now.
Cite your damn sources too while you're at it. All right, some new features from LinkedIn. Identity verification for users in the US. It's not a blue check mark. It doesn't appear to cost anything. There's no dedicated support that comes with it, but you don't really hear about people complaining about that on LinkedIn. So you're actually going to be able to verify yourself with Clear. You can basically just say that you are who you are on LinkedIn and, you know, check it against your government ID, which is nice because everybody wants to appear like a real human, especially in a professional setting. Speaking of which, they are also rolling out the ability to prove that you work where you say you do, verifying people with a company email address. Which is interesting because Andrew Hutchinson pointed out that you can claim right now that you work for anywhere, any organization that you want. And apparently social media today, according to LinkedIn, has 379 employees, which he said would be amazing if it was true. But alas, he does not have hundreds of people helping to handle the site. So I think that's a really good change. That is nice. And finally, a PSA here. It looks like Twitter is going to be lacking in the way of announcements from public service accounts as API issues, in air quotes, are being reported. So it seems like access is being stripped for those that aren't willing to pay. It's impacting important services like the MTA as well as NWS tsunami alerts. They're saying that the MTA, for example, said we're currently unable to post service alerts to Twitter due to an API issue for real-time service information. Please check our homepage. Like, they're not able to just, like, shove content out. But who's really going to suffer here are people that would like to see a rabbit every hour because the bunny's account no longer has access to the API. So if you were following at rabbit every hour on Twitter, I'm very sorry. You might have to wait for a manual rabbit.
That is so sad.
So sad. R.I.P. in peace, bunnies. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
For me this week, I would like to share a quick network breakdown from Microsoft Advertising for one of my accounts for March. Search ads total, 96,210 impressions, 157 conversions. Audience ads total, 125,971 impressions, 0 conversions.
96,000 impressions to 157 conversions versus 25% more impressions and no conversions.
And you can't turn them off. Luckily, people aren't clicking on them. We're not spending a lot. I don't even want to say that out loud and jinx us, but
knock on some
wood. It's bad out there, everyone.
This is not a working hard or hardly working. It's a working okay, I guess. But we talked last week about how we need to look at other places for attribution modeling. And Shopify has attribution models in its reporting, but they only offer last non-direct, last click, and first click. So maybe they need to up their game so that we can see some more things in there. But I guess they're doing okay. And you should know that that's there if you use Shopify. But I would take linear, anything to play with would be nice. Give me more of that, please. Shopify. Greg?
All right. And something working hard for me, I am in the new Foxwell Digital Community. It's about PPC. And it's just cool to be around. I know we have our Discord and you can always talk to us there. But Andrew Foxwell has this now for PPCers. So if you want to sign up, foxwelldigital.com/membership, and you can check it out. Just cool to be able to talk in a Slack group with a bunch of other PPCers and yours truly.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool comes to us from Discord community member Drew Cannon. Drew's got a hot tip and a list that I insist you use if you work in Google Ads. He says if you run Google search ads, check your account's location targeting. You need to exclude any area you don't want to show in, which is news to me because that's what targeting is for, is just to target certain areas. But he said that the new match locations are for people that are in or show interested in. And he had form fills just this weekend from India and Morocco, which were being matched to Maryland and Michigan. Those are very, very different places. And he did check. He looked up where these people came from. So basically, you need to exclude everywhere you don't want to show as opposed to just targeting the places that you do. And bless you, Drew, for coming up with a list of every single country so that you can use that and bulk exclude locations at that level. Thank you, Drew. As always, we will have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. So pick your poison. Check it out.
Newsletter at marketingandclock.com/newsletter and Discord is community.marketingandclock.com.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one, the only, Fred Valleys of Optimizer. And Fred has maybe the best article on GPT and using it to create ads, specifically RSAs. Fred goes on to talk about why you need to use the maximum number of assets for RSAs. If you haven't seen any of his SMX presentations on them, check it out. They're all free now. How you can use the script, how you can download the script for free. He also covers some of the limitations of GPT for Google Ads, and then how to combine Google Ads with generative AI, and you got everything you need to know in that article on Search Engine Land. Thank you, Fred.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingandclock.com to listen to marketing a playlist. Jess Bud, what will you be adding this week?
Prison Sex by Tool.
Of course, Elon.
I will be adding Dim All the Lights by Donna Summer.
Of course, Elon.
Craig.
I will be adding from... Somebody deleted mine.
No, it's down in the script for the outro.
Oh, shoot. My bad. For me, I've got Greta Van Fleet, Black Smoke Rising.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And we are back at it this week with everyone's favorite game. We had too many great ideas to fit in last week's show. So we're going to play poke holes in this again, where we all go around and share a life-changing idea that's going to make us rich. And then the other people tell us why we're wrong. Jess, why don't you go first this week?
I would love to. I just thought of this as we were sitting here doing our pre-show banter. Greg, you inspired me. You know that thing that was like electrodes that you'd put on your abs and it would like shock you into abs?
You just got super ripped sitting there watching TV.
Yeah. We're going to get them for your butt.
Oh.
To like build up your butt muscle.
So you're going to send shocks into your butt to make your butt contract.
Yeah. And then you'll just have like...
Do you wear this out in public?
Yeah, while you're sitting, while you're standing, it can help you walk.
So the one thing that was the big negative of this, and this is the only hole I have to poke, is you had to put that weird jelly on to get it to work, the ab belt.
Mm.
So you're going to have butt jelly all over, and it might make it hard to like sit down.
Or you upsell the underwear that go with it, the jelly safe undies.
And they would need a pocket.
And they'd have a pocket. Really, we're just making more money with this idea now.
I think it'd be pretty weird to see someone in tight pants walking around, because you know it'd be a tight pants wearer with their butt just like flexing throughout the day.
Maybe we also sell the pants. Or you wear it to bed. You wake up in the morning.
I hear the kids are big pants, so maybe it's a good time for this.
I just don't know if you put it on your butt, if that's the muscle you're trying to like. It might have to be a little lower. Where like to get your glutes.
What, your glutes are not your butt cheeks, right? It's like the we will work on the placement.
Great.
The idea is there.
Love it.
Thank you.
Greg.
It's AI, but for dating apps. Okay. Hmm. Back on the apps.
Back on the market.
It is terrible. But like all the AI and everything, can't you just make it like work together to like go talk to somebody else's AI and like set stuff up and then you just like go there? Like I don't want.
So it's for scheduling. It's not for flirting.
What's for all of it? Like you just you put in like the things you like. You let your AI. It's almost like that Black Mirror episode that you hated.
Yeah.
Where like went and you see like the compatibility ahead of time. You use your AI that knows you with another AI, and then you just.
It's got to be good though. Remember those pickup lines that AI was writing that we talked about like a year ago on the show.
Right, but you could at least be like, "Hey, I am allergic to dogs. It's out," or something like that.
I thought you were anti-metaverse. I live in the real world, Mr. Gregson.
I'm trying to save myself more time in the real world.
This
it's
is
a lot of
terrible
work.
Idea.
I think you just switched to eHarmony. The AI, they have all those compatibility
things. I
don't think
they're around anymore.
This is not what our country needs. What our country does need. Something that ruins my life is fitted sheets. And when you're laying in bed and it pops off one of the corners and I have to fix it, I cannot just roll over and go to sleep. Like, it's got to be there. We need clips on the mattresses to hold them in place.
What? I don't think your sheets fit your bed.
They do. It's just a really thick mattress and sometimes they pop off. Could
like
I improve?
Like I said, I think you need like deep. You need like new sheets, like deep version of them.
I want to take this to the next level because clips will give you Princess and the Pea stuff. Velcro.
That's not bad. Do your fitted sheets fall off?
No.
Mine either.
What am I doing wrong?
You're probably not like stretching it enough or putting it on. You're in a delicate condition. It's hard for you right now.
Do you fold fitted sheets? Okay, good.
Well, you don't fold fitted sheets?
No, roll them up and shove them in the closet.
It's not that
just
hard.
Like everything else.
You
it
just
is.
Take it on the sides and you just fold it in.
Then you take them out and find all your socks in them when you're starting to make the bed. Okay, Jess, what's your next idea?
Nicotine lollipops.
Oh, my God. There is no way that anyone would let that happen. We can't even have menthol-flavored vapes, okay?
Can I follow up on a question?
Yeah.
Is it for health?
No.
It's for enjoyment.
Okay.
Who doesn't love a lollipop?
I'm
it
out.
Could never be for health.
If it's for medical reasons and for health, then yes.
You just, there's all these new ways now to not smoke and have nicotine, and lollipops should be on the list. Because some people don't want to feel like they got stuff stuck
it's
in their
gums. It's going to get the kids hooked on nicotine.
Well, it's not
for
children.
Other people off. How are you going to keep it away from the children?
How do you keep anything away from the children? You just put it really high up on
your
shelf.
You can't. Okay. The teens are getting taller and taller. Greg, what's your next idea?
My phone fell on the floor. One second. My next idea, no holes can be poked in this. I saw it. I sent it to you. You probably didn't look at it because you don't use Instagram. You probably did. There is a man who was trying to eat more food and consume more food in a day, and he was making like a milkshake with chicken in it, and he'd put strawberry lemonade into it. And I was like, this is a crazy person. But then I'm like, you know what? He's onto something. So here's my thought. Food milkshakes, but we've got a nice brand of this, right? So you take it and you could just get the food in fast.
People like eating food. You're the only person who doesn't.
So you can get the food in real fast, right? But we call it soup dinners. But it's like drinkable soups.
Well, so it's soup. It's not a milkshake.
You ever heard of a cup of noodles?
It's a milkshake. We just brand it as like drinkable soup. But it's just like you can just pound a cheeseburger
a thick,
quick.
Who's making them?
We will be with our new company. We just blend a whole bunch of food
out. Okay, the problem with this is there's an audience of one because you're the only person who doesn't enjoy eating.
It's liquefied cheese. It's not a milkshake and it's not soup.
But think of how fast it'll be.
It's not fast. You got to blend it. You got to make the food and put it in the thing.
But
and
you're buying it prepackaged. You're buying a soup dinner. Mm. You just pick it up. Boom. There's a cheeseburger. Done.
Tastes it's like sitting a on meal. A shelf. Is it refrigerated?
Either or. We'll talk to the FDA.
I'm so upset.
I don't. Soup dinner?
Soup dinner.
That's make them name. For yourself.
I'll try and I'll report back.
It sounds disgusting.
Okay, my final idea, this is for the pregnant ladies. I think at the OB's office, they should pass out loofahs on a stick for washing your feet. And also nail clippers on a stick for cutting your toenails.
Don't you have a husband?
I do, but like, I'm not going
to cut her toenails?
Yeah.
He did have to cut my toenails, but I'm not going to have him wash my feet. That is a bit much.
Is it a bit much?
Cutting your toenails seems weirder than washing your feet.
I was out of options. And then also it would be nice if we could figure out a way to like fix the shoe tying situation, but I don't really know how.
I think they make slip-ons. Those shoes.
Like slip-ons?
Yeah, like slip-ons.
That's just sad.
And one other thing. I will perform a food milkshake on the Marketing O'Clock Instagram channel this week on the stories.
Oh.
I'll make a cheeseburger, drinkable soup. And I'll give you a review. So follow us at Marketing Clock on Instagram.
Well, that's how you know I had a good idea because you just went back to yours.
I just want to give the people what they want. Yours is a great idea. I don't know. I mean, your husband should be doing that.
I'm not going to have him come wash my feet in the shower. That is a bit extreme and sad.
You could just drop a loofah on the floor and just like step on it a little bit.
Oh, you can make a like a bath mat that you can like fit your feet into.
Yeah.
Oh,
that would take
some body wash. It's got like a top and a bottom, almost like a slipper, and you just use that. Just to go, clean.
Yeah. People okay. would use that even if they're not pregnant. That's a good idea.
That's not bad.
Okay. Yeah.
See, we brought it back to you. That's what this show's about.
I guess tune into the stories for the food milkshakes or don't if you're me, and we'll see you next week.